The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by ANT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I am here this morning, not stuck in traffic. I got here, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, lots of good information to support your good health, learning how to stay healthy, not treating disease. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Jen.
And we lots of information about something that has been in the news recently. Yesterday, we talked a great deal about vaccines, and there is a vaccine that has been in the news recently and is being promoted. Very, very important. Talking about different segments of the population who are at grave risk, and we're going to be talking about pertussis.
Well, it was, again, in the news, partly because they're saying that the vaccine is not that effective, despite the fact that everybody's being told.
Who's saying that? Is that like, the anti-vaxxers, as they're known, saying that it's not effective? Who's saying that?
Well, this time it seems that it's the Center for Disease Control.
Oh, my goodness.
Saying that it's not clear, and... See, my position on all of this, the one thing it all has in common is the disinformation that consumers are constantly being fed by people with their own agenda, which they don't make clear. For example, you would think that the pro-vaccination people are promoting their position because they want everybody to be healthy and not get sick. But the statistics don't support that position. People getting vaccines... and they're still getting sick. So what is their other agenda besides vaccinating people to stay healthy if that's not the outcome?
Well, might it be economic? Might it be some sort of exertion of power from a particular segment? What's your take on it? Why are they promoting it? What do they have as their motivation? Not necessarily the one that says, we're going to make the world a healthier place.
I usually think, just follow the money. Usually that's the incentive for most things, but it could be more than that. We've seen how vaccines have been utilized for birth control purposes in other parts of the world, not in this country. So you don't know necessarily all the possibilities, but I think judging from how pharmaceutical companies operate, it's always the bottom line that drives them. We talked yesterday about the pharmaceutical companies blocking marijuana legislation. Their position as well, it's a gateway drug. But the reason they're actually blocking it is because they don't want the use of marijuana to... diminish the use of narcotics and other painkillers that they sell. So we have to, think about things in a broader context. And when it comes to vaccines, at the end of the day, all the vaccine is trying to do is stimulate your immune system in advance of being exposed to an illness with antibodies. Now, the interesting thing is it's been shown now the development of antibodies doesn't correlate with resistance to the illness.
Okay, now that sounds a little hard to understand, Dr. Slavin. So you have antibodies to a particular disease or illness, and it doesn't necessarily mean that your body is able to resist the pathogen that brings about that illness. Is that
right.
what you said?
Yeah, that's been shown
wow.
too. So that's their standard in determining whether a vaccine is worthwhile or not, that it stimulates antibody production in your body. But the next step, and really the important step, is does having antibodies reduce your risk of coming down with that illness? And there seems to be some debate.
So there might be this interaction between the antibodies and substances produced by your immune system in response to exposure to a particular pathogen. So it isn't antibodies alone that's going to create resistance to a particular disease.
Now, I can't, you know, the interesting thing is, and what they always do is they say, well, if you get whooping cough or Bordetella pertussis, the fancy name for it, you might die. And it's very difficult to get the actual statistics far as deaths prior to the introduction of the vaccine.
It's interesting because there's an article and they're mentioning that in 2010, there were 10 infants in California that died in an epidemic of over 9,000 cases. But possibly the reason for the death of these infants wasn't because the disease was so overwhelming them, but that the doctors who were their pediatricians failed to diagnose the condition correctly during several visits. So it's that perhaps wrong medication, just overall wrong treatment of these infants that could have contributed to their death. So a wrong diagnosis rather than the actual disease itself.
Well, what they say in 2010, the year 2010, 10 infants in California died from an epidemic that affected a little over 9,000 people. Now, I didn't take the time to do my arithmetic, but they're blaming. See, here's the interesting thing, too. On the surface, you say, well, let's blame the illness on as the reason for the deaths, instead of perhaps blaming their nutritional state, blaming their environment, blaming the food they're eating or the food they're mothers ate. You know, these children were all infants. I think they said under 3 months of age.
But, you know, an incorrect diagnosis, the pediatrician treating them potentially incorrectly because they hadn't identified the fact that it was whooping cough that was making these infants ill.
Well, the reason for the wrong diagnosis is they weren't considering pertussis because everybody's been vaccinated. So
okay, so very, very young infants are vaccinated for pertussis. What is, I don't know what the age is when infants are vaccinated.
Well, here's some of the history. Back in the 1970s and 1980s, a controversy began about whether or not the whole pertussis component, and that's what they were putting in a vaccine, caused permanent brain injury in rare cases. It's funny. You get the vaccine and brain injury is rare. You get pertussis and brain injury is common. You know, they instead of just giving you the actual numbers so you can judge for yourself. So they called it pertussis vaccine encephalopathy. Now, despite that risk, doctors continued to promote the vaccine. They claimed the rate was very low, one case per 310,000 immunizations, or about 50 cases out of 15 million immunizations, and the risk of death from the disease was high. They say before the introduction of the vaccine, about... Let's see. It killed thousands of Americans. Now, that's very vague also when you say it killed thousands. You see, when they want to be specific, they're specific, and when they don't, they just say it killed thousands. Was it 1,000? 100,000? You know, they don't give you those numbers, but they tell you how many deaths from the vaccine were, 50 out of 15 million. No study showed a causal connection, and later studies showed no connection of any type to DPT vaccine and permanent brain injury. I've heard that before, that the, you know, they overlook, they don't see what they don't want to see, I suppose.
Here's a statement that I kind of take issue with. Parents who don't let their kids get vaccines may be creating more opportunities for whooping cough outbreaks. Dr. Slavin, if, let's say, 80% of the children, and I'm going to say that's a kind of a low percentage, but let's say 80% of the people who are of the children being vaccinated for whooping cough, how is it that the unvaccinated children are the ones that are the cause of an outbreak? If your child is vaccinated, theoretically, child protected, right?
That's supposed to be the case.
Theoretically.
And you see, that's why their whole position breaks down. Vaccines were so effective, the people who got vaccinated shouldn't be getting sick with it. I think in this current outbreak of whooping cough, now they're beginning to see that the vaccine isn't that effective. And you really should think about, I think there's another problem here. I think parents who vaccinate their kids feel they don't have any further responsibility to the health of the child because been vaccinated. We don't have to do anything else.
And see, sugar in the child's diet, the lack of fresh vegetables, the potential inability to properly digest things because the microbiome has been depressed in some way. So all of these areas of discussion, and when we come back from this break, we will continue our talk about vaccines and in particular pertussis. Stay tuned, more to come.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Hi. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. We've all heard the phrase, trust your gut. But did you know that your gut, or your digestive function, is critical to your overall health? Indigestion and irritable bowel can lead to chronic illness throughout the body. Take the steps to ensure your gut is healthy by getting nutrients to your body that are necessary to fight off infections and disease. Keep your gut healthy. Go to JanetCimarelli.com and set up a counseling appointment with me. I'll explain how you can change your diet and change your life. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And today our discussion is talking about vaccines, but we're focusing mostly on pertussis, an area where there's very recent information from the CDC that the vaccine may not necessarily be effective. So here are the children and adults being vaccinated for pertussis, but the type of vaccine that's being used does not provide immunity as well as the older vaccine. And the reason for changing from one vaccine to the updated version is there tended to be side effects. So now we're being told by the CDC that the potential for side effects in infants and individuals being given the whooping cough vaccine may very well show certain signs of possibly seizures after the vaccine, certainly extended periods of crying, and obvious discomfort after the vaccine. So the side effects included sore arms, crying, fussiness, anxiety, and occasionally seizures. So what we're seeing is, in order to avoid those side effects, the immunity provided is lessened.
I think the people that are against vaccines are not against keeping people healthy. They're against giving you a false sense of protection. How do you keep people healthy? Keep your immune system healthy. The science clearly shows there's a big difference between naturally acquired immunity, and that's what you get when you actually get exposed to an illness, versus vaccine-acquired immunity. Even as scientific knowledge about the biological mechanisms involved in naturally acquired versus vaccine-acquired immunity is still incomplete, they ignore that, and they're recommending, as you see in California, 100% vaccination for every, I guess, school-age child. Hasn't hit the adult population yet.
Mandatory.
Yeah.
That's the scary word.
Now, the other day we went into all the different ingredients that are put in vaccines that might make it easy for people to get a medical exemption if you're allergic to peanuts or eggs. There are a lot of different ingredients. That particular study suggested that may be why we're seeing such an increase in allergies among people. But this is an important point to make. Vaccines are designed to trick your body's immune system into producing an immune response that includes making antibodies that are needed to resist future exposure to the virus or bacteria that the vaccine was made to protect you against. And that word trick, I think, is appropriate because it's not a natural approach. It's a man-made approach. It's artificial manipulation of your immune system by vaccines containing lab-altered bacteria and viruses. So it's not exactly the same bacteria or viruses you would normally be exposed to, as well as, and this is also very important, as well as the chemicals and other ingredients that we spoke about the other day that are included in these vaccines. So they don't really replicate how your body would respond normally when naturally exposed to these infectious diseases. This is one reason why vaccine policymakers say you need to get a booster. You know, when you're a child and naturally exposed to these illnesses, you usually get lifetime immunity to it. But when you get the vaccine, now you need booster shots because vaccine-acquired immunity is only temporary and wears off. They're not sure how quickly it wears off. It might wear off a lot quicker than they think. That might be another reason for these outbreaks, is because the kids have, haven't been exposed to it, and if their immunity wears off and they're exposed to it, their body's not ready to deal with it. I think it would be much better to let people be exposed to it. Now, wasn't there a time, I recall somebody saying this, where you would actually, before vaccines, bring your kids to homes with where the virus was present to expose them so they could...
Well, the idea was many of these so-called childhood infectious diseases tend to make an adult much more ill, much more serious expression of illness in an adult than in children, and that there were issues with fertility when a disease was experienced as an adult. So to have mumps, chickenpox, and measles as a child, the risks were far lower than if you experienced those diseases as an adult. One of the reasons why the antibodies might not necessarily provide 100% protection and prevent the symptoms of the disease from appearing, Dr. Slavin, maybe if the child who is receiving that vaccine, maybe if their immune system is not very well supported, the immune system isn't able to truly respond to the vaccine, and consequently the immunity that's provided may very, very well be significantly lessened in duration. So very important to understand that if you're providing vaccines to your children, that you do very specific, helpful things to support their immune system. And I'm thinking most specifically of vitamin C and then beneficial bacteria probiotics.
No, you know, I couldn't agree more. If the vaccines were so successful, why are we seeing any illnesses among the vaccinated people? You can always say, well, they weren't vaccinated. That's why they got sick. But among the vaccinated people, but here's another big problem. Those who are pro-vaccine insist that vaccines are the best answer for disease prevention.
I so loudly, strongly disagree with that statement.
And they don't take into account any differences between people. But the fact is that this is an area, you know, the immune system is very complicated, and there's probably there's more we don't know than we do know. And so therefore, to mandate vaccines as the ideal choice for all people all the time, even though public health officials and others promoting the one-size-fits-all mandatory vaccine policies would like you to believe that's the best way, the evidence weighs heavily against such a approach. I'll give you an example. This was probably a couple of years ago. A healthy teenager, this was reported, dying following flu vaccine, for example. Don't they recommend everybody get flu vaccines? Yeah, so what happened was the 14-year-old died from complications of influenza type A despite being vaccinated against the flu. That's interesting. So the teenager had the vaccine, still got the flu, and died. Another case, a 19-year-old became violently ill the day after receiving a flu shot. This was the first time he'd ever received a flu shot. His symptoms were violent shaking, headaches, and vomiting. He went to the hospital, diagnosed with inflammation of the brain known as encephalitis, and they treated him with broad-spectrum antibiotics. Of course, we know that antibiotics don't work against viruses, and here again, they didn't blame his illness on the vaccine, which is kind of short-sighted since he became sick the day after the vaccine. 28 days after he received the vaccine, he died. And I think we're not identifying the patients who might be at risk. And, of course, all these people are so-called healthy before they get the vaccine, and then they die. We mentioned the girl that got the Gardasil vaccine and got extremely sick. She didn't die, but it turned out she was carrying a lot of illnesses that weren't giving her symptoms, but the vaccine may have been the extra assault on her immune system that triggered all the side effects. It's interesting, though, that they promote these vaccines either as good or bad, but they really don't have any studies in humans. And it's funny. And when they do a study in other primates like baboons, and then it comes out with negative effects, things that they don't like, then they say, well, baboons aren't humans. So, we can't necessarily say that what happened in the baboons would happen with humans. So all I recommend is you do the research on vaccines. And what you should be looking for is where are the studies showing how safe and effective vaccines are, because all we hear is secondhand accounts how safe and effective they are coming from the government and from the drug companies. But where's the study? Let me show the studies. Here's a study. They did it with baboons. Didn't show it was so good. So it's just we're being fooled, I guess, I think, just to make money for the drug companies, because this is major. If you get, we have about 310 million people in this country. If you get them all to take not just one type of vaccine, but, multiple types of vaccines and multiple injections of each vaccine, you're talking about a considerable sum of money that you're talking about.
And a considerable assault to your immune function.
And the reason, by the way, that they mandated the vaccines in California is because more and more parents were withholding vaccines because they're not convinced that they're safe and effective. It would be far better to improve your child's diet, cut back on the sugar and the junk food, measure their vitamin D levels and make sure they're optimal. Make sure they get enough exercise, get enough sleep. All these things undermine your immune system. And at the end of the day, in order for a vaccine to be effective, you still have to have a healthy immune system. And if you have a healthy immune system, why do you need the vaccine?
Well, there's a very, very interesting site that people can Google, Vaccine Freedom Wall. And what is that? You can talk about how you may have been harassed or excluded from certain functions because you've chosen not to expose yourself or your children to a particular vaccine. So there are issues with sanctions by doctors telling people, you can no longer be a patient in my practice because you have declined to have a particular vaccine. Then employers, people have lost their jobs because they have refused to take a vaccine in spite of the fact that they may have provided proof that they are allergic to, highly sensitive to, certain ingredients in the vaccine. So there are options out there for individuals. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back with more on what you need to know to stay healthy.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Before we get back to the discussion, I just want to talk about natural ways to support your immune function. And I'm talking about Janabiotic, which will provide that beneficial gut bacteria that is the critical first responder of your immune system. And then support the reduction of inflammatory issues with the full spectrum antioxidant benefits from Jana juice. So you don't expose yourself to sugar, which suppresses your immune system, but you're exposing yourself to a variety of different substances that provide antioxidant benefit. Things like goji, acai, mangosteen, raspberry, black cherry, all of those things that are very, very readily available in the Jana juice capsule. And the thing that I was thinking about during the break is all of the aspects of supporting your immune system and ways of actually confirming that indeed your immune system is very, very well supported, very efficiently operating. Dr. Slavin at AMT centers having a blood test, things like ultra-sensitive C-reactive protein, that's an important test to have. Certainly the basics of vitamin D, maintain your vitamin D status in an optimal range, not just in a normal range.
Sure. Not only vitamin D, vitamin C, for example. You mentioned inflammatory markers. They're going to weaken your immune system. If you have chronic inflammation going on, you want to know about this and correct it. We monitor and evaluate your autonomic nervous system, because if that's under attack, so to speak, if it's not functioning optimally, that puts you at greater risk. If you don't get enough sleep, if you don't exercise, you know, study after study shows regular exercise strengthens your immune system. All these things are important to do. But mainstream medicine waits for you to get sick before they jump in, instead of intervening at an earlier stage of the illness. In other words, we'll call it the subclinical stage, before you have symptoms. That's the time to help people stay well. Instead, they wait for you to get sick to the point you might need hospitalization.
That's one of my favorite references, is subclinical. I talk to people about that. They're beginning to have very, very subtle changes that are not diagnosable in a clinical setting, but they're moving, unfortunately, in that direction. And with good nutrition, supplementation, understanding the whole healthy lifestyle, then they can avoid moving in the wrong direction.
I'll use breast cancer as an example of how they approach that. They do mammograms. Well, mammograms find the disease. I prefer to do thermographies that identifies people at risk of getting the disease before it happens, and then take steps to reduce their risk. What are some of the risks that we find in people? Hormonal imbalances, very commonly seen elevations in estrogen without a corresponding elevation in progesterone. There's a mismatch there. That discrepancy plays a role. Again, vitamin D levels, if they're not optimal, is a risk factor. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole difference with mainstream medicine. They just wait for you to get sick. Now, we mentioned one of the websites that has it's a blog. People post their own experiences. And I just wanted to read a couple of them. Very interesting, and they sort of echo what we've been talking about. Here's one person who posted, said they were a fully vaccinated child, and yet they've been incredibly sick their whole life with gluten and lactose intolerance. In their junior year of high school, they received the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine. And then 3 years later, they were diagnosed with whooping cough. That's the pertussis, even though they were vaccinated against it. But they should have been protected. Then the person went to dental hygiene school, and they were forced to take flu shots. If the person didn't take the flu shot, they'd be kicked out. And every year that person had a flu shot, they go on to say they got the flu. Another one, because there are a lot of vaccines out there, a lot of vaccines causing problems. This was a 31-year-old woman diagnosed with cervical cancer. She said she'd been exposed at age 20 and had been followed by pap tests and had a colposcopy. And actually, they apparently cured the vaccine. But then later on, she was at a clinic and they gave her three rounds of the Gardasil vaccine, which doesn't make any sense. If you've been exposed to the illness, what's the point of giving a vaccine? She was unaware that injecting this vaccine into my body after I was previously exposed to the human papillomavirus could potentially increase their risk of developing cancer, which it did. So, you know, that's an interesting thought. Here's another one. And this one is a story that I've heard over and over again, firsthand from parents who do not vaccinate their kids. And this parent goes on to say, my oldest daughter had received four DDP vaccines, was fully vaccinated as recommended for pertussis, and she caught and brought home pertussis within 2 months of starting school. So how could that happen if you've been vaccinated? Vaccine didn't work at all. She was more than 1 to 2 years away from her next recommended booster shot, and this was only a year since her last shot. She now is, they checked her, and she has very high levels of metals and other neurotoxins like aluminum in her system. She's developed autoimmune diseases like vitiligo. When she brought home the pertussis to my 1-year-old daughter, they go on to say, the parent in this case, you know, her 1-year-old was not vaccinated due to her husband and they felt husband and daughter's genetic predisposition to autoimmune diseases. They had allergies and asthma and vitiligo. She goes on to say, both my daughters took an antibiotic after testing positive for pertussis via lab samples. They, of course, were kept home until well and both recovered quickly. Vaccine status did not matter. My oldest vaccinated daughter was always sick more and sick longer than my unvaccinated daughter, even though my unvaccinated daughter was younger.
I hear that so often from mothers who have, because of illnesses in their older children, have chosen not to vaccinate subsequent kids.
Yeah.
And the unvaccinated kids are a lot more healthy.
There's a little bit more here, but what I hear too is they say, my kids are never vaccinated, and they never miss school. All the other kids that are vaccinated, they're out sick all the time. My two unvaccinated daughters are never sick, and they have no allergies, asthma, or autoimmune disease. My youngest daughter is almost 16 months old and has never been on an antibiotic. My oldest daughter has allergies to milk. This is the one that was vaccinated to milk, eggs, severe allergy to gluten, along with autoimmune disease vitiligo. I will not trade possible protection from acute illness for chronic disease. I know how to strengthen my children's immune disease through
defenses.
The best nutrition. How to strengthen the immune defenses through the best nutrition so that they are protected from all infectious and chronic disease, not just possibly protected from the ones for which there exists a vaccine. And I think that sums it up.
Very, very clearly. very important information for parents out there to make informed decision. If you are being pressured by your pediatrician to conform and use the vaccines, and ultimately you find out that the situation is such that your child is at risk, you support their immune system and you will go ahead and do the vaccine. But if you, in your heart, in your mind, with all of the best research that you do, with all of the best information gathering that you do, the approach is go with your gut instincts. One of the things that Deepak Chopra says, your heart will never mislead you, but your brain can lead you astray. So make informed choices for your children. Very, very important, because there is certainly a great deal of information out there about vaccine injury. And sometimes it isn't this overwhelming diagnosis, let's say, of cancer, as one of these people quoted that before, but it's these almost constant issues of succumbing to a cold or sore throat or a cough. Maybe you have digestive problems. Maybe you have headaches. Kind of very, very low grade but annoying illnesses, and very often, unfortunately, that may be traced back to its origins, may be traced back to exposure to vaccines, possibly improper exposure to the vaccine, as it was, as that person shared with regard to the being exposed to the Gardasil vaccine after she had successfully cured her human papillomavirus exposure.
I think this is a perhaps a helpful website to look at if you're undecided what you want to do with regards to vaccines for your kids or even for yourself. It's called the National Vaccine Information Center. So the website is nvic.org. And you can see what other people are saying about their own experiences with vaccines. This website was created to pass along other people's experiences with vaccine failure as a way for the community to share their experience. Vaccines can sometimes fail to provide protection against the infectious disease they were designed to prevent. So that's what they're trying to pass along. And I think this is probably more common than is even reported. Now think about this. How many people that don't get the flu shot don't get the flu? So you can't automatically say because you had a flu shot and you didn't get the flu, it was because of the flu shot.
How many people who don't get the flu shot might actually have a case of the flu, but much more mild than some of the people that they know of who had the flu shot? That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're covering some ground, hopefully motivating you to be very well focused on your immune system and hopefully giving you some good ideas on how to go about it.
You know, personally, I don't recommend vaccines. I know you don't either, Janet. But I wonder, the people you meet at the health food stores, what's their position on, say, the flu shot? Because that's what they want to give to all the adults.
It depends. There are some people who have been followers of natural health support for years and years and years, and then there are relatively newcomers to health food stores, and they are still being coerced by physicians that they have placed in positions of authority with regard to their health. And I try to be
diplomatic,
very, very balanced, because if I come across as a wild-eyed anti-medical person, I don't do them any favors. I don't do anything beneficial for their health. So it is, and I say, it isn't me telling you this. It's me conveying information on research that has been around for years and years and years. It is me conveying to you stories from people that have come to me over the years and what their situations have been because of vaccines.
Disinformation, which I've seen rampant in medicine, is the reason I start research, doing my own research, and not just believing what the mainstream medicine community is propagandizing. For example, when Ralph Moss wrote the book The Cancer Industry, prior to that, I thought, you know, obviously they were out to find a cure for cancer. Then when you read the book, you realize that couldn't be further from the truth. And once you find one lie, now you everything becomes suspect. Then you read about vaccines, then you say, wait a second. The vaccines really don't show the benefit that they're claiming they create. Then you... Then you start questioning everything about mainstream medicine, and you say, wait a second, there's no such thing as a drug deficiency or a vaccine deficiency. There's a immune system weakness
that we can identify and address.
There are causes of syndrome X, otherwise known as insulin resistance syndrome, things that we can correct through better diet. That stops not only high blood pressure, but going on to develop type 2 diabetes or adult diabetes. It also controls your cholesterol levels. You begin to realize that the drugs are unnecessary if people would be proactive for themselves, understanding that they're bringing these conditions on themselves. And it's not for everybody. A lot of people are content not to take care of themselves and rely on drugs. But if you try to take care of yourself, you can avoid drugs. Because I see it firsthand in the patients. Some of them are in their 90s On no drugs.
Dr. Slavin, address for a little bit, if you will, the effect of stress on people's immune system and how just across the board you see stress levels in patients.
Well, we're able to, I found a device that can check people for the stress they're under. And people don't realize they're under stress, even though we can document it. And every now and then, it's rare, someone comes in showing no signs of stress. And it's not an age-related thing. You just see a lot of stress in people, physical stress, mental stress. And in another category, stress resistance. How well is your body able to deal with stress? And this is all a reflection of your autonomic nervous system, which controls the function of your heart, the function of your lungs, the function of your digestive tract. And if any of them go awry, particularly your heart and lungs, you die. So this is very important, autonomic system evaluation. It's not done in mainstream medicine, although they know about it. It uses heart rate variability as one of the tools in evaluating people. A decline in heart rate variability is associated with an increased risk of dying. So we want to identify those people and notify them and have them fix the problem.
So just kind of to create a whole system that our listeners can possibly use to effect a change with regard to how their immune system is functioning, optimize your vitamin D. And I know that Dr. Slavin, with your patients, you have a focus of achieving an 80. The range in vitamin D levels on your blood tests would be 30 to 100, but you want it optimized levels. And sometimes it takes very high doses supplementally of vitamin D in order to achieve that optimized level. Vitamin C, critically important. And what's important is to take vitamin C probably every 3 to 4 hours over the course of the day. That 3 to 4 hour time frame is when you most likely have used up the prior dose of vitamin C. And, you know, when we're talking about the stress levels, there are so many different very, very soothing substances to enhance how your mind and body deal with stress. And so I'm thinking about theanine, which is an extract of green tea. It's an amino acid, but very, very soothing, physically relaxing, but mental focus and concentration. And then when you think about aromatherapy as an example, there are different substances that you can inhale. And aromatherapy is a way to actually go directly to your brain and achieve a change in brain chemistry. An aroma inhaled goes directly to your brain, can cross the blood-brain barrier, which is an issue with certain things that you take orally. And then Bach flower remedies that people might think, it's a flower extract. How much can that do? But all they have to do is try rescue remedy when they're in an extreme stress situation, and that rescue remedy just is so soothing and immediately soothing.
Well, one other thing about vitamin D, and this was published, taking 50,000 units, because they do make a 50,000 unit vitamin D.
And it doesn't have to have a prescription, and it doesn't have to come from your doctor with a prescription. You walk into the health food store, you walk into the Institute of Advanced Medicine, and there it is.
But taking 50,000 units 3 times a day for about 3 or 4 days, if you feel you're coming down with something, has been very helpful in that context as well. What about, is it the elderberry? That was shown to be effective?
Very, very effective. And there are so many different forms of elderberry and elderberry extracts. Very, very helpful at supporting overall your immune system.
I remember reading that, I don't know if all the brands or just one comes from Israel. Do they all come from Israel? Or?
There are different ones from different areas of the world, but the research with regard to how helpful and exactly how the elderberry works comes from Israel. Extremely high quality research.
So, in other words, it's funny, isn't it, that the government who's promoting everybody get vaccinated for all these different illnesses really never talks about how to keep your immune system strong.
Rather, they promote false type of reporting with regard to dangers of herbal use and dangers of 50,000 IUs of vitamin D and lack of benefit for omega-3. Omega-3 so efficient at lowering inflammation.
So, and since you mentioned inflammation, I'm seeing very excellent results using curcumin or turmeric, excellent product.
Fabulous, fabulous anti-inflammatory, all natural, no side effects. And to our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 with more health-supporting information for you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.